So happy that everyone is here today. It's such a joy to be able to come together and to experience not just life with each other, but life with Jesus. Today in this service, we're going to look at a number of things along that line. But as we begin, we always go to God first. And if you would join me. Loving, most kind and gracious God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, we lift up this message to you that you would speak to each one, that we could hear exactly what you have for us, that you would use me to say whatever words you have, knowing that they're your words, not mine. God, I just thank you for each one that is here listening and watching, and God, what a blessing it is, and I ask that you would just pour your spirit into each one. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's message is Identity. I know that probably brings up a thought or two. As you think about identity, where in the world is he going? What comes to mind with when you hear be like-minded? It's a little different, but what does that conjure up in your mind? Maybe it's you like the same food. You know, you're like-minded because you share a joy for a particular dish. Or maybe you're an early riser and your spouse is too. Or those that you're around, you enjoy getting up early and watching the sun rise. Maybe it's the same style of music. You are like-minded in that choice. Or you prefer a particular author and you're like-minded with someone and you have that togetherness as you discuss that. Could be a hairstyle, a color, if you like a particular color. I know I like blue. That's my favorite color. Could be, you know, a vacation spot that you share with friends, that is the place you go. But you are like-minded in that togetherness. How does this apply to the church? Being like-minded from a church perspective. Today's message is based on and comes from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 13. And I will read these from the NIV and just listen as we go through this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. Verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Verse 9, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. We have to remember Paul is writing this, as we learned last week, from a prison in Rome, chained to a guard. And he is looking at the church in Philippi. This church is special to him. It's a happy church. It's one that continually sent supplies to Paul to bolster his spirits. But it's a church that was established in hostile territory. But it was a very big and large source of joy for Paul. Paul thanked them for their continued support. Paul encouraged them to work together. He wanted them to be so successful. But as this chapter plays out, he mentions, and he's referring to, a disconnect between the members of this church in Philippi. And some members were not getting along together. Some thought they were better than another. Which brings the question, what makes a faithful church? Their commitment to the gospel, walking in the way of the Lord. That's a faithful church. They're committed to the gospel. Paul wanted them to see that the basic cause of their division is pride and selfishness. There is no joy when members put themselves above others. Conversely, there is great joy and peace and harmony when members actively share in and express the selfless mind of Jesus. As we pick up verse 1 of chapter 2, Paul begins with four if statements, all of which point back to the shared experience in Christ. This is the foundation he built on. Paul focused on their unity in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if at any comfort from this love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. The first point that he gives, the first if statements, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and this is kind of the most important point that Paul starts off with, our true identity is found only in Christ. Or as Paul puts it here, united with Christ. What makes you a Christian? Take a moment and just kind of reflect on that. What makes me a Christian? What makes you a Christian? Some thoughts might come to mind. I go to church. I'm a Christian because of my behavior. I'm a Christian because I read the Bible and I pray. But Paul states, we are Christians because we are united with Christ. That's our true identity. That's who we are. Everything we do or don't do flows out of that. Paul is telling the church and telling us, as this applies to us, to remember who we are. He told the church, remember who they were, but this applies to us today. Remember who you are in Christ. Our union is in Christ, and therefore our unity with one another is found only in Christ. Going back to chapter 2, continuing in verse 1, the second if statement. If any comfort from his love. Remember your shared experience of Christ's love, not just as an individual, but as a church. Jesus's identity was secured in knowing he was the beloved son of the Father. He knew who his dad was. He knew that God the Father, that's who his love was based in. In Christ, we are given a share in the love the Son has for his Father. This is not a love we can produce on our own. We can't conjure it up. We can't create it. It is a gift of love from Jesus It is an eternal love that is shared with us as we are united with Christ. Again, our true identity. Loving others tends to flow naturally when we are secure in being loved. If you are being loved, it is much easier to have that loving flow through you. If you do not experience love, it's a hard one to master and understand. We'll go back to chapter 2 and continuing verse 1 with the third if statement. If any common sharing in the Spirit, and this can mean fellowship. Common sharing in the Spirit can be, again, fellowship. Fellowship in the Spirit is much deeper than anything we can accomplish on our own. That is such a deep and rewarding connection. The fellowship the Spirit shares with us is the same fellowship the Father and Son have been sharing for all of eternity. Think about that. The Father and Son, and you're being able and you're sharing in that same unity of fellowship. Fellowship in the Spirit is freeing. We don't have to shape or control things. God takes care of it all through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. True fellowship is not some ideal of our own making. We can't design, we can't define. We can experience that true fellowship. We can trust God to guide our relationships. We'll go back to verse 1 of chapter 2 for the fourth if statement. If any tenderness and compassion, this is an evidence that the Spirit is working. It is remembering the presence of Christ and His tenderness and compassion toward us manifested in our past relationships. Jesus is involved in those. It is one more indicator we are united with Christ, our true identity, that tenderness and compassion. Verse 2 of chapter 2 begins with a then statement, T-H-E-N. We go from four ifs, then we come to then. In verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. There is joy in sharing in our identity in Christ. It's an identity marked by sharing in the Lord's mind, heart, and spirit. We have a choice. We can choose to lay down our right to have things our way, my way, or continue to hold on to my own way of thinking. Do we let it go, or are we so tied to our own thoughts and our own ways that that's most important? Listen to what Paul directs, what he tells us. We're going to pick this up in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. We are not made to exist for ourselves, as if we are detached, self-sufficient creatures. Verse 4. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. We may think, yeah, right, that sounds impossible. And you're right, it is. But Paul is reminding them, this all changes when we are united with Christ. Verse 5. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Since Jesus shared his life of identity in the triune God of love with us by the Spirit, we are encouraged to share in what he is. Verse 6 through 8 are the words to a hymn. We don't have that music today, but if you followed the link that was in the bulletin that was referenced, There's a song that used these same words in a hymn, and it's really a good thing to go and listen to and to process what is being said there. Paul wants us to become like Christ. He uses this hymn to remind us who Jesus is for us. He is for us. Paul is reminding us to put aside self-focused living, to live in humility where others come first. Through the song, Paul is reminding us of our identity. We are united with Christ. Through the hymn, Paul tells us that Jesus is fully God and fully man. And he lives out his humanity by receiving his identity from the Father. We see Jesus living a life of humility, obedience, and sacrifice. In the last two verses of today's message, verse 12 and 13, we are called to participate in a reality, not create one of our own. What is that reality that he's calling us to participate in? It is to embrace our identity as the one body united with Christ, our true identity. We are glad you were able to join with us today. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a prayer request, and we would love to pray for you. You can reach us through our website at gcderby.org or on our Facebook page at Grace Communion Derby. Hope to have you join us next week, and yet you have a very blessed week.